Welcome to Dispatch in Depth, where we give you the stories behind the science of emergency dispatch. This is an official podcast of the International Academies of Emergency Dispatch, the world's leading authority in dispatch science. I'm your host, Becca Barris, writer and copy editor for the Journal of Emergency Dispatch. In each episode, we'll be bringing you stories of the fascinating people who work in this area. We'll give you their backstory, including how they got there, what they're working on, and what drew them to the field. These are people who represent the cutting edge in emergency dispatch, and I hope you'll join us to hear more about them. Welcome to Dispatch in Depth. Today we're talking about the Emergency Telecommunications Program at the Veterans Tribute Career and Technical Academy in Las Vegas. We have the program's creator, Lori Henriksen, on the line. Lori is a certified instructor in emergency telecommunications with the International Academies of Emergency Dispatch. She is also an advanced emergency medical dispatcher, emergency police dispatcher, and emergency fire dispatcher. Before instructing at VTCTA, she worked for several years at the Las Vegas Interagency Communications Center for both the Bureau of Land Management and United States Forest Service as a law enforcement and fire dispatcher. She then spent 14 years with the Las Vegas Metropolitan Police Department as a 911 emergency communications dispatcher, trainer, and instructor. Among many other awards and recognition, Lori was presented with the Nevada State ACTE Innovative Career and Technical Education Program Award in 2015 and the 911 Awareness and Education National Award by the Next Generation 911 Institute in 2016. Welcome, Lori.
Hi.
So to start, can you please give the listeners a quick rundown of your career path? I know I kind of touched on some things in the intro, but how did you get into dispatch?
So I was very fortunate to have an awesome family. And my father actually had worked for the Bureau of Land Management for a long, long time. He was also a reserve officer for the Las Vegas Metropolitan Police Department. So long story short, when I turned 16, that first summer while I was still in high school, he was able to assist me in getting a job that summer with the Bureau of Land Management as an emergency dispatcher. There was a large fire here in Las Vegas, and I started working that fire, and I did well, and so they kept me on that summer. And so I continued to do that each summer through high school, and then upon graduation, I became a seasonal employee and then was eventually hired full-time by the United States Forest Service working in that same dispatch center where we worked dispatching for several agencies. While I was doing that, I also applied for the Las Vegas Metropolitan Police Department. And it was nothing that I ever thought that I was going to do. It was just my dad actually happened to be working one weekend as a patrol officer in that reserve capacity. And he went into the dispatch center and he said, basically, hey, you know, my daughter works for the BLM and Forest Service. Is this something that, you know, would fit her or that she could do? They told him how to have me apply for it. And then he basically came home and said, you're applying. So at 19, I started full time there with LVMPD. And worked about 14 years. I eventually became a trainer and an instructor. And then I was also one of the first dispatchers to go through the crisis intervention training. It's the 45-hour training in mental illness and crisis intervention to deal with those that are in crisis themselves or threatening others. I worked there 14 years, absolutely loved dispatching. I couldn't stand to be away from work. However, I do have triplet daughters. My husband was also in the gang unit at the time for the police department, and we had a lot of overtime at the time. And I was overwhelmed with working overtime and adjusting to his schedule and his call out, and then having triplet five-year-olds, something had to give. So I had to resign at that time. Fortunately for me, Veterans Tribute Career and Technical Academy was actually founded by Principal Tammy Buffelli. She actually had a lot of ties to the police department. Her husband, her sons were both on the department, and I actually had trained her way back in the day as a call taker. She got a hold of my husband and said, hey, is Lori still available? We would like to start a 911 program at this new academy I'm starting here in Vegas that's law enforcement based. And so she got a hold of me and That was in 2010, and I've been there ever since. The craziest thing, though, is obviously I came from a dispatching background and an instructor there, but I thought I would just walk into the school and there'd be a big box of instructions, and there wasn't. So this is something that I've had to create from the ground up. And with help from the academy as well, I was able to get my instructor certification and my police, fire, and medical certifications through them. And with help from them and a whole bunch of other local, federal, and state agencies, we've created an amazing program.
I wasn't aware that there were programs like this. So for you to get this opportunity and be able to build it from the ground up is absolutely amazing.
Thank you. Especially when I first started, there weren't very many programs, and there was a few things here and there. I was trying to reach out. There was nothing really formal. But since then, there have been quite a few programs across the United States that are being formed or have been formed.
Yeah. So let's talk about the school itself then. So as we talked about, it's high school aged kids. Is it 9th through 12th or is it 10th through 12th?
So our school is 9th through 12th, and we are a public high school. We're a magnet high school. It's free. The students have to apply. And it's basically based on a lottery system. So they apply in their eighth grade at their middle school. And then if their name is picked, they start us ninth grade. The only thing is they don't enter my program until 11th grade, till their junior year. Basically, when they start at Veterans Tribute, they enter a program. Actually, let me backtrack. Our school is based on public safety. So we have 8 courses a day, and they are chosen into a program, or they can eventually choose a couple programs. What we offer are cybersecurity, 911 dispatch, law enforcement, criminal justice, and forensic science, and EMS, if I didn't say that. So their freshman year, we've developed a program called Foundations of Public Safety. And that's the program that they take at first that kind of explores everything public safety and all of the different career paths that there is to choose from. After that year, they kind of go their way. If they're thinking about 911, what we recommend is them to take law enforcement. So they take a Law Enforcement 1 program their sophomore year. Then if they do decide, yes, I for sure want to go into 911, they have to apply for mine. We have a 29 console lab, and I have 6 additional consoles in my classroom. So although it's a pretty big lab, I only have a certain amount of seats, obviously. So they apply, and then if they're chosen, then they would enter my program junior year. So junior year, they take Emergency Telecommunications 1, which is law enforcement call taking and dispatching. And then they would go on to senior year where they take 2 courses. They take Emergency Telecommunications 2, which is workplace skills, but that's also where they take my course in Emergency Telecommunications, and they have the chance to be certified in that. And then they also have the chance to take the certification courses in EMD, EFD, and EPD. Then they also take a lab course where it's advanced law enforcement, which includes pursuits, perimeters, active assailant calls, and then also fire and medical call taking and dispatching. So that's kind of a little summary of how the school works.
So you talked about how students wanting to go into 911 specifically will take this track in the high school, in the school. About how many of your students go on to actually go into the 911 career pathway? And of those, about how many do you think go into dispatch specifically?
Okay, so it's really hard. I don't honestly have an accurate count or a specific number. What I do is with every graduating class, I get their names and their emails and their phone numbers. And I have kind of a continuing education aspect of this where agencies actually from all over the United States will contact me, reference any openings or any opportunities, and I send that out to students. And when I send out these emails, whether it be monthly, bi-monthly, or whatever it is, you know, I'm always asking them, hey, by the way, if any of you are starting a new career or have moved agencies or are doing something in regards to public safety, please let me know and reach out. I can tell you a lot of our students end up going into the military. We're very strong on either college, career, or military. So they'll enter the military, and then after that, they'll go into an agency. Just from my own personal knowledge and the students I've kept in contact with, it's, I would say, about 60 to 70%, depending on the year, end up going into some form of public safety. With that, probably 30%, 40% of that, of my students, may go into dispatching itself. A lot of the students that are in my program are also dually enrolled in another program. I get a lot of law enforcement students. I get a lot of criminal justice. I have a lot of students that are EMS or that go into the medical portion. And whether they become a doctor, a lawyer, psychologist, whatever, they got their grounding or their initial love for whatever that career is and love for public safety from our campus.
One of the things we talked about before was no matter what path the students choose to pursue, whether it's law enforcement or EMS or fire, if when they take this course, they'll have the background that they need to see it from the dispatch side and vice versa. So you don't have dispatchers going into the field saying, well, I don't understand why the law enforcement officers don't just do this and this and this. You have dispatchers with a pretty complete idea of what law enforcement is doing on the other side of the radio and vice versa.
Yes, and I think that that's very important. When I was dispatching full-time, that was my biggest thing. I went on ride-alongs all the time on my days off. And my husband, he's a lieutenant now for LVMPD. When he was in patrol, and even now he'll tell his guys, hey, go into dispatch and see what they do. And he was excellent, and not just because he's my husband, but he was excellent on the radio because he knew what the dispatchers needed and what they were doing. And then, like you said, vice versa. A good dispatcher knows what their units, what they need, why they need it, and can stay a step ahead. And that's where these students are very fortunate because they're getting all aspects of it. I have a lot of students who don't necessarily want to be dispatchers. They do want to be police officers, and they come into my program because of that. And I have some very, very, very successful police officers across the United States now because they have the knowledge of this. And then the other important aspect of students coming into the program is, although, you know, I'm pumping up the students and saying how great they are and how they're going to do public safety and whatnot, the really cool thing about the program is you're getting the students in there and learning about dispatch, learning about whatever it is, but especially dispatch, but also learning the fact that, you know what, maybe that's not for them. And I'm cool with that, and I'm okay with that, because I would rather them find out that now at 18 versus going into an agency and an agency putting all that time and effort into this person and then them resigning. And that's the big problem, or one of the big problems across the United States, with the attrition rate of call takers and dispatchers. People get into the field thinking it's just, you know, taking phone calls. And those of us who are doing this know that it's not that. And so if I can teach the kids that, then that's also successful.
Right. So I'm assuming then that you have kind of a unit on burnout and compassion fatigue, and not downsides to dispatch, but the problems you don't see, right? Because if you're going to be a firefighter, if you're going to be a police officer, you know that there are certain injuries and illnesses that are specific to the line of duty. And we don't really ever talk about those in dispatch.
Yes. And actually, that starts pretty much on day one with my juniors. Every single day in their classes, junior year and senior year, we do some type of stress management. That's been one of the biggest things that's been my priority is to teach the kids stress management, because you have to take care of yourself if you're going to take care of others. And you also have to know what you're getting into. You have to know that this is shift work and that you're going to hear horrible, horrible things, and you have to know how to take care of it. I also tell the students, you know, although I'm going to teach you stress management and I'm going to teach you all the bad aspects and I'm going to say, you know what, but you can do it and rise to the challenge, there's going to be some things that are going to be hard to overcome, and that's okay. And know that it's okay to reach out. So I have guest speakers come in. I tell my own personal stories of tragedy and my own personal tragedy of friends that have committed suicide due to these jobs. And if I can help these students overcome that and be great people and have a long career and be able to handle this, then that's the job that I'm supposed to do.
Right. I think that that is such a great way to prepare the next generation of dispatchers and first responders in general, is to let them know the hazards of the job and to give them tools to overcome it, right? Because it does take a certain type of person to be a dispatcher, but you can grow into the role. And as long as you have the tools necessary, I think that programs like this are a very, very large part of getting rid of those high attrition rates in dispatch specifically.
Yes, because again, obviously, I was one of the youngest dispatchers at LVMPD when I started just out of high school. And I've heard since I started this program, I've heard certain agencies say, you know what, 18 is too young, 19 is too young. You know, they need to have life experience before they can do this. Well, I'll tell you from a perspective of a dispatcher, I wouldn't want some of the experiences that some of my callers have had. You know, I don't need to have had every experience that they're calling in to me about to be an effective dispatcher. The cool thing with these young students is they're bright. They're used to change, obviously, in the last year and a half. But if they come in with all of that, if they learn to have these skills now and learn that it's okay to ask for help, which has been the problem with the older generation, those my age didn't ask for help. And that's been the problem. These kids have no problem asking me for help 24/7, but they're prepared for this. And I think with the critical thinking skills and everything that they have, they're going to be great call takers and do great things.
Yeah, we have to give them that support, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we touched on this a little bit before. When this program started up, you were starting it from scratch. There weren't very many programs like it anywhere. Have you seen the creation of more schools like this? Is this, do you think, an up-and-coming trend?
I think it is. And especially with the climate of all things public safety in our nation right now, agencies are looking for police officers and firefighters and paramedics and dispatchers. And it's hard to fill these roles. And looking at our youth that can choose this as a career path. A lot of people never hear of a 911 operator. I mean, I know we have the show 911 and we had an awesome 911 focus show this fall, but a lot of people don't really know what we do. So the more that we can get this out to our youth as a career path, the better. And so since I've started and have reached out to various companies and to different agencies, and then they've seen the success of our program, more and more, not only agencies, but school districts have contacted me. I've assisted actually quite a few school districts and agencies and, you know, doing what I could. I mean, I'm crazy busy trying to just manage this program, but to give them inspiration or assistance. And I think eventually when I do retire from here, that's something that I would like to do is to maybe help spread this some more. But it looks like there's a lot more across the United States that are starting. It's a great program to have, but I will tell you, it's a very hard program to run, especially for the fact you really have to have an instructor that's dedicated to basically their whole life trying to create this program, just for the fact that laws change, policies change, protocols change, and you always have to keep updating things. It's not like, and not that math doesn't change or English doesn't change, but with this type of program, it's like every year you're recreating curriculum and always, always updating it and ensuring the accuracy.
Especially in the last year, I'd imagine, like you said.
Oh, yes. Well, and that's the thing too. And you're liable. So, I mean, it's a big liability as well, you know, because you are training these students in these policies, procedures, protocols, laws, and you're training them how to do this. And then they're going to go off and do the things that you say. So you need to make sure that yeah, what you're teaching is relevant and completely up to date. And yeah.
For the final question, Lori, what's one thing you'd like listeners to take away from this episode?
So the biggest thing is to give our youth a chance. So these students are bright, they're energetic, they're willing to learn, they're critical thinkers, they're excited to work, they're willing to work different days off and different schedules. They are the next generation of public safety that will be trained to do the right things in order to ensure that both our responders and our communities are safe. So I think this is our hope for the future of students that are ready for a great career.
Thank you so much for joining us. Is there an email address, or is there a way that people can contact you if they have questions about Veterans Tribute or if they're thinking of starting their own program?
Yes. So our school website is VTCTA. That's Victor Tom Charlie Tom Adam, VTCTA.org. And my email is HENRILE1, like Henry Lee 1, at NV, like Nora Victor, .ccsd.net.
Perfect. And we will have those in the show notes in addition to our contact information for Dispatch in Depth. As always, if you have questions for us, if there's a topic you'd like us to cover, go ahead and email us at dispatchindepth@emergencydispatch.org. And Lori, thank you so much for coming on today to talk about your program. We look forward to seeing how you grow in the future.
All right, thank you so much, and have a wonderful day.
Thanks for listening to Dispatch in Depth. Remember, it really helps if you rate and subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, or wherever you get your podcasts. Dispatch in Depth is hosted by me, Becca Barris. I'm also the technical director and producer, and Matthew Maiko is the executive producer.